2 Thessalonians chapter 3, beginning with verses 1 through 5 tonight, the Lord's faithfulness is the title of my message. Paul the apostle now turns to ask for their prayer for himself and his companions. That's really humbling. You know, when you ask someone, especially such a great leader as Paul, the apostle of Jesus Christ, how can he say, hey, please pray for me, you guys. I need your prayers. I'm going through heavy things in my life. I'm being persecuted. I'm being defamed. There are these people in Corinth, men, that are trying to shut down my ministry, and they're talking against me, and they want me to keep quiet and not preach the cross of Jesus Christ. That's what Paul is going to let us know tonight here. I like what Dr. Worsby says. He says, even in this, they would have the encouragement of one who could express sincere sympathy with them. For Paul also was troubled by wicked men. Here, the spiritual giant Paul, a man used of God, possibly about all others, shows the true unfeigned marks of meekness by asking the petition of even the weakest among the saints. And then he said this, "This is true greatness indeed, a man walking in the power of God, yet deeply conscious of personal inadequacy, depend upon the prevailing power of prayer." Prayer. The key to the life of Paul the Apostle. Today, as we look around, we see that we are living in different times. Things are changing in America. Things are changing in the world. We are beginning to see more intensely things happening around the globe concerning hurricanes and, you know, earthquakes and famines and pestilence, wars and rumors of wars. And everything's going to become more intense as the Lord gets ready to come. We know that. And yet how much more tonight we need to come together as a congregation of believers and really seek the Lord for our needs. I love what Paul here is going to proclaim to each one of us individually. Because there are certain requirements that are given to us in the Bible concerning prayer. Number one requirement, we need to have a pure heart. We need to have a pure heart in order to come to the throne of God. We cannot come to the throne of God with dirty hands and a dirty tongue. And we cannot come with dirty eyes and dirty ears. We have to come to God in all holiness and when we come in true repentant hearts so that God can hear my prayer. John the Beloved said, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us for our sins. The psalmist David said in Psalm 66, 18 and 19, he says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. But certainly, God has heard me. He has attended to the voice of my prayer. When you come in all humility, in all brokenness before the Lord, He will hear you. We cannot come with pride, with arrogance. We have to come totally broken, humble before the Lord when we're going to pray. Secondly, we need to have faith in God. We need to believe. In the book of Matthew 21, 22, Matthew said, "And whatever things you ask in prayer, believing you will receive." And it's always according to what? God's will. You just don't ask. Because, you know, in positive confession, we don't do that. True faith. Believing, asking God, Lord, according to your will, let it be done. Because in the next thing he says, is that when we come before God in prayer, we come to pray according to his will. In 1 John 5:14, he says, "Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us." And then he says, and if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have a petitions that we ask of him. Surely, I want the door to heaven to open when I come before him on my petition to ask God with a pure heart, with faith, according to the will of God. And fourthly, we need to pray in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord. There is no other name but the name of Jesus. In John 14, 13, he said, "And whatever you ask in my name, the name of Jesus, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." How I thank God for those who come once a month to our prayer meetings here at Calvary Chapel in the fellowship hall. Totally jam-packed now. It's so cool. Because we take time. We were doing it twice a month, but you know, everybody's so busy. But yet once a month, we can't live without prayers like oxygen. To be able to see young and old coming to pray on Friday nights, and to see that 2 or 3 hours go like nothing when we pray. Before you know it, it's over. And yet we haven't even reached the whole world yet. But you know what's so amazing about prayer? That you can sit in your living room and you can pray around the globe in 20, 30 minutes. Praying for the different things in the world as you watch the news. And you hear of people that are in need. You don't have to go on a flight. You don't have to go on a ship. Right from your own living room or your kitchen, you can pray. You can be driving on your way to work and pray. You can be on the way to the mall and pray. It won't hurt you. It'll help you. But I think this is really important that we really, you know, get the message that Paul has here, because, you know, God is so good to us. And Paul also says that if we believe the truth, it changes our lives. Look at all the lives tonight here that have been changed by the Lord. Hundreds, thousands of people on Sunday morning, you know, and all over the globe. People being changed every day because of the truth of Jesus Christ. Why? Because God's word is alive. It's not dead. That's why Paul the apostle talking to the Hebrews. He says in Hebrews 4:12, "For the word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even," notice what? "The hearts." Even the hearts. The word of God is powerful. That's why here at Calvary Chapel, we make it an emphasis on the teaching of the Word of God. We want to know God, and we want to know His Word. We want to know what He says to each one of us individually as we study His Word. We want to know and hear from His voice. Now Paul here in chapter 3, he begins in verses 1 and 2, and what he's going to do now, he's going to be asking for prayer here. He begins in verse 1, "Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified just as it is with you." Notice that here Paul is acting like a pastor to the Thessalonians. Paul had a shepherd's heart. Study the 20th chapter of the book of Acts when he's actually going to Rome to be killed by Nero, and he's making his actual, you know, last visits, and he meets with the elders of Ephesus, and you see him at the end of that letter, where he's weeping and crying, and they're weeping and crying for him because they know they'll never see Paul again until they get to heaven. Paul was a real shepherd, a real pastor. He had a heart for the people. He loved the people. How I thank God for you. I have the best congregation in the whole world. Seriously, when I travel, man, I miss you guys so much. It's so cool to get back here because you're an exciting congregation. Man, you're up front. You're on the front lines. And you know, God's doing a great work in your lives. And it's so neat to be able to see some of you, you know, how you're growing in different stages of your Christian life. And to God to use you in the nursery, you know, ushering or whatever ministries here at Calvary Chapel. So cool to see different people come up and volunteer. And then they begin to grow even more as they're giving of their gifts and talents to the Lord. That's what it's all about, people. And yet Paul here says, finally, he's not saying this is the end, you know, because he has a lot of verses still. Paul, you say, well, Paul's long-winded. Well, he was long-winded. But here the word finally, he's actually saying literally, besides that, I want to let you know, brethren, that I want you to please pray for me that God's word will have its course. I love that. Please pray that the word of God will not be taken away. Man, the word of God is all that we have. Without the word of God, we'll die. That's our nourishment, spiritually speaking. I don't know how people cannot read the Bible. You know, once they come to Christ, they don't feed upon God's word, and they can go for days and weeks and months without the word of God. That's why they're having so many problems, and they're walking in the flesh. We need to read the Bible every day. Nourish upon it. Take a book. If you want to start with the New Testament, start with Matthew. But don't get discouraged in Matthew, because as you start reading as a new believer, in the first 17 verses, there's all kinds of names as the genealogies of Christ. You can, you know, just glass through them and go to verse 18, and then you can start reading through the book of Matthew, the birth of Christ. And then just go Mark, you know, Luke and John, Acts, Romans, and all the way through. And then in the Old Testament, start with Genesis. And when you get to Leviticus, read carefully first time, because there'll be a lot of things that, you know, you won't understand. Numbers, then Deuteronomy, then Joshua, Judges, Ruth, and all the way through. Man, it's amazing when you read through the whole Bible and you can say, I have read through the whole Bible. That's why Paul said in Acts 16, in Acts 9, chapter 20, he said, you know, in chapter 19 and 20, he said this. He says, I wash my hands from the blood of all men because I have not failed to give to you the full counsel of God. Why? I give it to you all. Genesis to Revelations. I can say that now here. I did it in West Covina for 13 years. We went through the whole Bible. We're going through the whole Bible right now. Except this time we're taking one old, one new. You see? The last time we went all the way through. All through the Old Testament and all through the New Testament. And yet here is Paul the Apostle, and he's saying, brethren, he says, permit me to say this, that I need and I covet your prayers, that the word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified or be accepted just as it is with you. Paul's heart was not only to teach the people God, what Paul wanted people to be changed by the word of God. That's what changes us, the Holy Spirit. The life of the Holy Spirit in the Word of God. If you go to college, you can take a class in literature. And if you're not a Christian, they'll teach it to you as literature. You know, it won't mean nothing to you. It'd be like reading Plato, Socrates, or any novel. But when you have the Spirit of God and you pick up the Bible and you start reading it, you can't go too far before the Lord is going, stabbing you. You got to stop. And say, you know what, this is an area in my life that I need to take care of. And as you read the stories in the Old Testament, you know, they're written for our examples. Why? So that we don't make the same mistakes that they made. How I thank God that He gave us already a book that we can learn from so that we don't have to make the same mistakes and sins that other people did in the past. But that we can learn from it. And we can correct our lives to the teaching of the Word of God. And the Word of God is so important for each one of us individually, as prayer is. We need to pray. We need to read the Word of God. We need not only to be a prayer warrior, but Paul was fully dependent on God's Word. And what did he do? And every day, he didn't force himself to sit down and study God's Word. He did it gladly. Why? Because it nourished him. It encouraged him. It exhorted him. And it built him up. You see? That's what the Word of God will do for each one of us individually as we give ourselves to the Word of God. So I would exhort you tonight, and I would say to you, if you haven't been doing it, start every day with the Word of God in prayer. Give time to the Lord. When I was in college, one of the things that one of the professors said to us, he said, take a notebook and get 7 pieces of paper. And then every day, Mark down Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and then mark down the time that you get up in the morning until the time that you go to sleep. And then go ahead in each piece of paper, and maybe you want to do this, and put out every half hour, mark down what you're doing for yourself. And at the end of the day and at the end of the week, the results will come back and they will show you how much time you spend on yourself and how much time you spend with God. You'll blow your mind. I blew my mind. I learned from it. It's really important that even the Bible says this, that the Word of God is more necessary than three meals a day. More necessary than eating. Because spiritually, we need the Word of God in our hearts. We need it to grow by it. And so Paul here is pleading with them to pray that God's Word will continue to move forward and will begin to do its work swiftly and be accepted by those people. Secondly, notice verse 2. And that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for not all have faith. Secondly, Paul says, please pray for the safety of the messengers. Oh, we need to pray for that, you guys. You need to pray for me. I need to pray for you. We need to pray for our missionaries. We need to pray for Billy Graham. We need to pray for Greg. We need to pray for Franklin. For those people that are in the front lines, we need to pray for them, because the devil will come after us and he wants to kill us and he wants to destroy us. And I would covet your prayers, because I don't want to fail in any way, God. I want God to continually use my life. I'm not afraid of dying. I'm not afraid of going anywhere for the Lord. But at the same time, when we make such commitments like that, the devil not only knows it, but he studies us and he watches us and he looks for our weaknesses. And in those weaknesses, he tries to discourage us and he tries to destroy us. That's why we need your prayers. And I need to pray for you too. Because there are people, like Paul says here, that are hostile. They make up rumors about the pastors. They make up rumors about leaders. They make up rumors about congregation people in the congregation. And they have not only bitterness towards the church, and they hate the church, but at the same time, they're working for Satan. We had a missionary friend of ours in Peru a long time ago. And he came to the United States to learn English, went to Sousa Pacific, they went to Fuller, got his degrees, got married to an American girl, and they went back to the mission field, the Quechua Indians, translating the Quechua Bible for them in their language. And when he finished the Bible, the New Testament, he was with his father and his brother, and they were on a bus coming down in the plains of Peru. And the shining path, a group, like a guerrilla group, stopped the bus. And when they stopped the bus, they made everybody get out. And they got Romulo, and they separated him from his dad and his brother, and they killed him in front of his dad because he was a Christian. I've been to China, I've been to Thailand, I've been all over the world, and Christians are persecuted. And it's really sad because, you know, people lay their lives on the line. And I think, Lord, would I give my life to you like that if they took me off the bus, thinking I have my wife, my children, my grandchildren? And you know what? We can say whatever, but I think that the Lord prepares us for the right time, at the right place, and I think that we can die for Jesus Christ. And I think that this is really important, because I feel the heart of Paul, how Paul must have felt as he knew that he was proclaiming the gospel. Romulo was proclaiming the gospel. He translated the whole New Testament into Quechua, and then he died. Some people would say, man, he was so young and he died Hey, when your time comes, it comes. But he accomplished so much as a young man. And some of you young people here, God has so much for you. If you will just give your life to him. Fully, completely. Say, Lord, here I am. Lord, I give you my life as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to you, Lord. It's yours, God. Take it as you will. It's not my life, it's your life, God. And can you imagine what God can do with you in the junior high or the high school or the college or on the job or your neighborhood? If you're truly, truly sold out to the Lord, man, you don't have to preach. Your life will preach for you. Your life is a living testimony to people. It's so amazing how God can use all of us because he loves us and he cares for us. And yet, be ready, like Paul, that you're going to be persecuted. You're going to be talked about. You're going to be defamed. They're going to spread rumors about you. Because the devil hates you. And he hates committed, fully surrendered, humble people of the Lord. He hates them. And I feel that Paul here not only was talking about this problem, but he says, you guys be cool and be praying for the safety of the messengers that the Lord is using. He says, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable men. That is, the word unreasonable here is problems in the ministry, people who can waste your time. Literally, he says, people that are out of place. This is not their place. They're out of place. The idea connotes such a word as wrongheaded, bigoted, outrageous, or an outburst. People that don't have no feeling. People have no sympathy. People that are mean, jealous, and they want to destroy the work of God. Think of how many people have destroyed the work of God through phoniness and foolishness and deception. How we need to stand true to the word of God. God is faithful. And we need to be faithful to God. Because you are going to be receiving hostility in your personal life. Some of you already through your families, you found out when you came to Christ, they're hostile toward you. Some are disowned. Sometimes when you get together with family, they start mocking you, making fun of you. Because Christ offends when people change their hearts and they give their hearts to the Lord. And that's what Paul's here saying. You guys, pray for the messengers. Look what else he says here. He says, from unreasonable and wicked men, for not all have faith. And the word faith here is the faith, or they are not all Christians. You see? They're not all Christians. There are non-believers in the body of Christ. The tares among the wheat. You see? And we know that, and we know, remember that parable that we talked about, that Jesus, the farmer in Matthew 13, where he came in and they sowed the seed on the field, and then when it grew up, remember that he came in and said, Master, he says, you know what? The tares have grown among the weed. Should we go out and take out the tares? He said, no, don't touch it. Until the judgment day, the Lord will send his angels, and he'll separate the wheat from the tares. Otherwise, you'll pull both of them at the same time. Let them grow together. We're always going to have the tares among us. You see, but we are wheat. We have been not only touched by the Holy Spirit, but God's Holy Spirit has not only given us regeneration, but the Holy Spirit is our what? Our source of life. He brings conviction. He brings life. And then at the same time, he leads and guides and provides for each one of us. And so we that have faith in the Lord, listen, continue to build your faith in him. Because there are those in the body of Christ that have no faith. They are not all Christian, Paul says. Be careful. Then he says this in verse 3. But the Lord is faithful. I love that. Thirdly here, he says, keep trusting God no matter what happens to you. No matter what problems you may have, no matter what decisions you have to make, do not trust in yourself. Keep trusting in the Lord. Keep it up. But the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you, notice, from the evil one. You don't have to be afraid of the devil. Listen, the devil, you know, he can't really do anything to any one of us unless he's asking for permission. Read the book of Job. When Job was sitting there, and he was a blessed man, he had daughters, he had sons, he had cattle, he had houses. And one day it says that the Lord was in heaven and the angels and Satan, he says, were coming to present themselves before the Lord. And the Lord said to Satan, "Hey Satan, where you been?" He says, "Well, I've been cruising up and down the earth." And the Mexican didn't start that. Hey, he was up in heaven with Satan. "I've been cruising up and down the earth." And he said, "Hey, have you ever considered my servant Job? There is nobody more faithful than him." And Satan says, "Oh, Lord," he says, "how can I do that when he's your baby? You're always protecting him." And the Lord said to him, "I'll tell you what, I'm going to give you an opportunity to test him. But you can't touch his life." So Satan, immediately, when he got permission, he flew down. And you know what he did? The first thing he did? He killed all of Job's family and took away all his cattle and sheep. All his wealth was gone in one day. And you know what Job did? Job got up and he said, "Naked I came into this world. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord God." Heavy. That's a servant of the Lord. Chapter 2. The Lord's up in heaven. Satan comes in again. He says, "Hey, have you ever tested my servant Job?" He says, "Yeah, you know, you're always protecting him. I'll tell you what, now I'm going to give you another chance. You can go and test my servant Job personally, but you can't touch his life. I hold it in my hands." Satan went down. And what did he do to Job? He made him have boils from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet, where he could not stand, he could not sit, he could not lie down. And his wife came to Job and said, "Job, why don't you call out and curse God?" And he said, "You foolish woman, how can I do that?" What's going to happen to you and I when we're tested by the Lord? Are we going to curse? Or are we going to say, "God is faithful. Blessed be the name of the Lord"? Because I want to let you know, you will be tested. If you haven't really gone through something heavy, your time's coming. It comes for everyone. And that's why not only do we nourish ourselves through the Word of God and through prayer and being in fellowship with other brothers and sisters, so that you can lift my hands up. You can hold them up when I get tired, like Moses. We need to pray for one another. We need to hold up one another. Because there are those that are going through hard times right now, and there are others that are not. And Paul says, "Listen, you guys that are strong, lift up the weak. Help. Bless them. Pray for them." And here Paul, once again, is saying the same thing. He says, "Look, you guys, this is what you need to do. Keep trusting God no matter what, because God is faithful. I'm not faithful, but He is faithful." He says, "Who will establish." The word "establish" here is that make you steadfast. He'll make you steadfast and guard you from the evil one. And the word "guard" here, it says He will protect you from who? From Satan, that roaring lion, Lucifer, son of the morning star. He can do nothing to you only by permission. "Greater is He that is in me than he that is of the world." I don't have to walk around looking for Satan all the time. I don't even talk about him unless I have to. You know why? Because I talk more about the light than the darkness. And when people say, "Well, I'm in the darkness, how do I get into the light?" Listen, just go over to the switch. Turn on the switch. That's all. The light will come on. You know, and there's people groping through the darkness. "Oh, where is it? Where?" You know, just turn it on. I mean, you've been in a dark room or dark caves where you can't even see the front of your hand. Remember how good it is to see light. You know, everything's exposed in the light. Satan and all his demons always planning, always trying to deceive and to destroy and to kill. But how we thank God that He is faithful, for greater is He that is in us than he that is of the world, Jesus. You don't have to fear the evil one. And then look at verse 4. And we hear now Paul's confidence in the Lord. And what is that? Obedience to God. And we have confidence in the Lord concerning you, both that you do and will do things we command you. Look what Paul is saying here. Their confidence comes through obedience to the Lord. You just can't say, I'm a Christian. You have to obey the Lord. You have to obey His word. Let me read you something pretty cool out of the book of Deuteronomy in chapter 8, if you have your Bible over there. Let me read it from the NIV for a second here. It's a pretty cool chapter because here Moses is talking to the children of Israel how they're going to be blessed, but be careful also, you know, when the blessings come and then disobedience takes place. He says, be careful to follow every command I am giving you today so that you may live and increase and may enter and possess the land that the Lord promised an oath to your forefathers. You see, obedience. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the desert 40 years to humble you, to test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep His commands. You see? The trials, temptations that you're facing today, God is trying you to see if you're going to obey, to take you to the next level. They were going from Egypt to the promised land. What does it say? Notice again in verse 2. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way to the desert for 40 years and humbled you and test you in order to know what was in your hearts, whether or not you would keep His commands. He humbled you, causing you to hunger, and then feeding you with manna, neither you nor your fathers knew about, to teach you that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Same quotation from Jesus in Matthew chapter 4 about the word of God when He's talking to Satan. You see, the importance of God's word. Then He says this, your clothes did not wear out. Your feet did not swell during these 40 years. Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, so the Lord your God will discipline you. Why? Hebrews chapter 12. Whoever the Lord loves, He chastens. Observe the commands of the Lord your God, walking in His ways, revering Him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land with streams and pools of water, with springs flowing in the valleys and the hills, a land with wheat and barley, vines and fig trees, pomegranates, olive oil, honey, a land where bread will not be scarce and you will lack nothing, a land where the rocks are iron and you can dig copper out of the hills when you have eaten and are satisfied. Praise the Lord your God for the good land that He has given you. But, here it is, but be careful. He says, be careful of what? Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe or to obey His commands, His laws, and His decrees that I am giving to you this day. Don't forget the Lord. Be obedient to His word. Paul the Apostle here says, and we have confidence in the Lord concerning you both that you do obey and will continue to obey the things we are commanding you. What were they commanding? Writing of the Scriptures, the epistle, just like we're doing tonight. We're studying that same epistle. Obeying what Paul had written to them in that epistle of the Thessalonians and the rest of the Word of God. I command you, he says. That's a military command. They're a military word for a commander in chief. When you go in the military and they give you an order, you're going to say, well, maybe I'll do it, maybe I won't. You're going to do it. You see? You get used to, you know, taking orders. And that's what he's saying here. When God gives an order, you obey it. Think of how many men give him the order to go up the hill and give their lives in a moment of obedience. They're killed, but for their whole company, they save. That's the Christian life too. We need to obey. We need to give our lives to the Lord. And we need to be obedient to the scriptures. Not just listen, not just attend church, but take the word of God when you hear it and obey it. Apply it to your life so that God can bless you. And then check this out, verse 5, Paul's prayer. I love it. Now he's going to pray for their spiritual growth in the Lord. And now may the Lord direct, or literally, and to open a path of clear trial. That is, the word used here in the Greek, it's like if there's all kinds of weeds and everything else, the tractor comes along, and what does he do? He clears the path. That's the word here. May God clear your path. How do you do that? Through prayer. God wants to clear your path. Watch this. And now may the Lord direct or clear your path or clear your hearts into the love, God's love, notice, and into the patience of Jesus Christ. Here Paul breaks into prayer for his children and their faith. Paul loved his people. We love you, and we hope you love us. How we need to pray for one another. And listen, in conclusion, so we have now four great responsibilities to fulfill. Number one, believe the truth, guard the truth, practice the truth, and share the truth with those that don't know it. That's what God has called each one of us individually to do that. But it's going to start on your knees before God, in prayer, and in reading the Word of God, in studying God's Word, in humbling yourself, in placing yourself on the altar of God and saying, Lord, here's my body. In the Old Testament, dead sacrifices. In the New Testament, living sacrifices. Here are my hands. Here are my ears. Here are my eyes. Here's my brain, Lord God. Here's my heart. Here are my feet. Lord, you can have me all. I give you my whole life, Jesus. Father, I pray tonight, Lord God, by the power of your Holy Spirit, Jesus, that tonight, Father, you would speak to each one of us individually in such a way, Lord God, that you would receive all the glory, all the honor, God. Lord, I thank you so much for these people, Lord. And Lord, I thank you for those watching over the internet. Father, they are part of the congregation too, Lord God, part of the body of Christ, Jesus. Lord God, we pray from wherever they're watching, from all over the world, Father, that you would touch them, that you would anoint them, God. And Lord God, for Calvary Chapel, Golden Springs, for all of the little churches around the area, around the United States of America, Father, Lord, we pray for your Holy Spirit to do a tremendous work. And just with every eye closed, every head bowed, I want to just shoot it out to you tonight. If there's anybody right now among us, if you're not a Christian, or you're backslidden, and you want to give your life to the Lord, I want you to get up right now out of your seat, and I want you to walk up here to the front right now. If you came with someone, they will wait for you. Jesus said, if you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father which is in heaven. But if you deny me, I will deny you. When Jesus called people, he called them publicly. They got up, left their nets, left their boats, and they came after Jesus. You want to be a disciple of Christ? Get up and come now. We're going to worship. We'll wait for you to come. Those of you that have come, I want you to pray with me this prayer out loud. Repeat after me. And ask Jesus Christ to come into your hearts, okay? Pray with me. Dear Jesus, please forgive me, Lord, for all of my sins. I confess to you that I am a sinner. I ask you to cleanse me, wash me by your blood. I receive you by faith as my Lord and my Savior. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray.